This is Wade Rathke with the Chief Organizer's Report. 10% is not a solution for child care costs and student loans. In the last couple of days, I've read various campaign pronouncements on capping the cost of child care and capping student loan payments. Hey, tell me we can't all get behind something like that. But I was struck by the fact that the ceiling on both of these onerous burdens for millions of working families were targeted at 10% of their gross total income. Many of them are the same struggling families who are trying to raise young children, which means significant child care costs, and pay student debt simultaneously. So even if we're capping both at a combined 20%, I started to wonder, would these families make it? Were these real reforms or a shuffling of cost on the Titanic? So I started looking around. Here's the word from the Department of Labor. The average income in the U.S. by household was $63,784 in 2013, according to the Consumer Expenditure Survey conducted by the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. The average household budget breaks down in various categories. Housing, $10,080, 16%. Transportation, 14%. Taxes, 12%. Utilities, other household operational expenses, 11%. Food, don't overdo, 10%. Social Security contributions, personal insurance, pensions, 9%. Most of that you don't have a choice about. And so forth and so on. Comes out to the 100% of your money, all being spent every year without much question or doubt. Child care isn't even on the list for the average family. So that 10% or more than of more than $60,000 annual income would have to come from some reductions in the list of basic household expenses. Education is on the list at 2%, though not as a debt. And in fact, on this hypothetically average list, debt payments and savings are in the same category at 8%. In this cash crunch, let's assume the whole 8% would go to school loans and savings are put off for another sunshiny day. This family would still be 2% of their income short, which now means they have to find $7,200 and change to make ends meet and pay the bills if and when this reform were ever implemented. Drop entertainment at 4%, cash contributions at 3%, apparel and services at 3%, vice at 1%, and personal care at 1%, and we get there. As long as a family can essentially wear old clothes and go to rummage sales, learn to play cards and look out the window for thrills, hold on to every spare dime and avoid the collection plate, learn to cut their own hair or take up begging on the streets and so forth. Is that a life? Is that possible? Hard to believe. And of course, there can be no rainy days in this family's future. An emergency, a breakdown, a layoff, or a health care crisis, and this family goes under. Remember, too, that this is the average family, so half of the households are even in worse shape than $63,000 in annual income, or may live in housing in much of urban America where 30% of annual income versus the optimistic gauge of 16% in this figure is considered a gift from heaven. We all know people now living in cities where half of their income is going for housing. What's my point? You can see it coming. A 10% cap doesn't get the job done. Only the exceptions can live by such rules. In order to right-size the economics of the average American family, we need to see some loan forgiveness around student debts, and we need some direct subsidies for family child care. This neoliberalism pay-as-you-go-under program has failed and is increasing the equity gap by leaps and bounds. This is Wade Rathke. For questions or comments, www.chieforganizer.org. You take it from here to there.